We were having such an interesting conversation about being under pressure, about the airline industry. Captain James Nixon is with us. Do you always stay Captain James? You don't stay captain?
No, this is the thing that people talk about, but it's tied to the airline. So the day you leave the airline...
You're no longer captain.
No, but of course people get their mail delivered to them till they're about 90. Yes, I'm a captain.
Oh, right.
Yes, I'm a captain, but you're not really...
So the reason...
The Air Force does that.
What we were talking about, which is why we took our time taking off with you just then, today's program, we were talking about being under pressure, and obviously the aviation industry is under pressure. James and I were just trying to track... The trajectory, so it was TAA, like right back when I was born, that's, you know, 50-something years ago.
Fully regulated, two airline acts, so there was TAA and ANSET.
And ANSET, but they were domestic, and Qantas flew internationally only.
Correct.
Right, so then when TAA became Australian Airlines and there was still ANSET, then ANSET folded, but Qantas was still...
No, just go back a bit. TAA became Australian Airlines.
Yeah.
And still operated up against ANSET right through the pilots dispute.
Right.
That was James Strong running Australian Airlines and up against ANSET.
Right.
And then all of a sudden in 1992, Qantas started privatising. Paul Keating needed the cash. Did I say that? Yes, he did. So they said,
talk
righto.
Frankly, we need candor over breakfast.
They sold a big slice to British Airways, or a small slice, 40% or something, to British Airways.
Right.
And then British Airways got out in 1995 when the Australian government said, no, we're going to sell it to the mums and dads of Australia.
Okay.
And that was in 1995. It's been fully privatised, hasn't been the nation's flag carrier. Everyone has this thing about Qantas being the flag carrier. It's not. It's just another private company.
But it sounds like it's a national entity.
Yes.
But when were they started to fly domestically? Because when they came in domestically, that was the big change, right?
Yes, after Australian Airlines was taken over completely by Qantas. And I think that was 1995.
Okay, after that's the Qantas. So interesting. So how do airlines make money? Like how come Rex and Bonza why can't they sustain?
Because they can sustain, and they did very well. When I was at Kendall Airlines,
I'd forgotten about Kendall.
Yeah, so I was at Kendall Airlines, and then I got a list of all the airlines in Australia that you won't believe you remember these names.
Go on.
Okay, you want to go?
Yeah.
So first, East West.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Gray was and then East West became Compass Mark 1, and then that went under very quickly. That was using a wide-body Airbus A300. And then they thought, oh, that doesn't work. More flights, more often, smaller planes. Compass Mark 2. That didn't last. And then, of course, Jerry McGowan and his wife in Newcastle took over Oxley Airlines and became Impulse. With this tiny little airline going from Sydney to Canberra in turboprops. And then they got themselves DC-9s and the best ever airline colour scheme of a sulphur-crested cockatoo on the tail.
Right.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And it started up during John Howard's work rule changes, which meant you didn't have to pay people proper wages. You could just give them a slice of the action. That was only going for about 3 months before the opposition knocked it off. And having set that up, Qantas suddenly realised what a great little opportunity this was. And so Jeff Dixon, the CEO of Qantas, got friendly with this guy. Next thing you know, Impulse goes up against Qantas on Melbourne-Sydney. Mm. Jeff Dixon said, can't do that. Takes him to a pub in Sydney on a Friday night and they sat down with a beer coaster and bought Impulse. And that's Jetstar today.
Oh,
so
wow.
So out of the corporate shell of Impulse became Jetstar with all the work rules associated with it.
So
Which Qantas owns.
Right. So
then after that, we had AusJet. Then we had Tiger Startup, Strategic Airlines, started Air Australia trying to go internationally. That didn't last long. These are all going for about 3 or 6 months.
Why don't they make any money? Like how do you make money as an airline?
Start with a huge fortune and watch it go. In fact...
Does Qantas monster everybody? Are we not allowed to upset Qantas?
That's right. In fact, I was just sitting in the green room laughing because there was a TV ad showing how Qantas is giving away all these cheap flights at the moment to Bali. Mm. So after they've knifed the corpse of Rex, they're now turning around saying, oh, they're there. We're lovely. Would you like some free trips to Bali? You know.
So they're a vicious competitor.
Oh, completely. And they get sued every few years by the American government, or fined, for what they do on the freight business across the Pacific up against the American airlines has been going on for years.
What do they do?
Naughty things. And
naughty things?
Well, they break the rules. And so they get fined in the US government. And so they've been fined numerous times for hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And every day we sit here today in our beautiful studios, and about 1:30, there's a rumbling of a beautiful 747 flying over the top here, coming to land at Melbourne Airport, full of all the things that people have bought online over two days ago in America, on a huge Atlas Air 747, which is flying on a Qantas flight number. They don't even have their own freighters. They just have this fleet of Atlas Air 747s where they've outsourced the pilots and outsourced the airplanes to other companies. During COVID, they came out of the recession after being paid by the government while they were still being paid.
Yeah.
Their big, huge business was fulfilling everybody's Amazon contracts, as we know, that everyone sat at home and just went on their computers. All those parcels came over on Atlas Air for Qantas, and they even used Air New Zealand. Air New Zealand 787s were doing a freight shuttle.
Right.
Rather than fly one of their own aeroplanes.
Right. So why didn't they want to fly one of their own aeroplanes?
Because it costs money.
Right.
They're a brilliant business. You know, they are, but don't go up against them or you will be in trouble.
So I spoke with Robin Ironmonger from The Australian last week about a few things that have been thrown at Qantas's feet about Rex going under. So Rex obviously had a rush of blood to the head and decided that they would try and take over part of that lucrative Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane Golden Triangle thing, and they'd go in there and compete with some of the money that they got during COVID. And it was put to me that Qantas' response to that was to go into the regional areas and undercut Rex's prices so that even though Qantas was making a bit of a loss, it still brought Rex undone, which is what happened with Impulse.
Sure. And whether they undercut them, and they will tell you that they didn't.
They had to go there because they couldn't fly internationally.
Yes, but that's right, because they didn't bother to, you know, their planes were still parked in Alice Springs. But the thing about the biggest Australian frequent flyer program is the Qantas one.
Right.
So if you're in Mildura and all of a sudden Qantas Link comes along and parks there beside Rex and charges you even $1 more, you go, well, it's better off if I do this because it links through Qantas Link. It's on that side of the airport terminal when we get to Melbourne. We just jump straight on a flight to Coolangatta so we can use our points. So it wasn't very hard for them to go up against the regionals in the regional areas.
And my understanding is that airlines sell loyalty points to the banks for real money. So they make money selling their frequent flyer
Huge
points
business.
So that when I use my Visa card, I get frequent flyer points.
Huge money. Huge business. Because who can use the points? I mean, no one can redeem them. Most people can't redeem points.
Can't get a seat.
No, you can never get a seat.
How else do airlines make money?
By not flying, you know, which is what Qantas did during COVID, how they parked all aeroplanes. See, Emirates was one of the first companies that got into leasing aeroplanes in a huge way. Previously, people buy aeroplanes and then depreciate them. That's what we've done in Australia. People like Singapore started leasing aeroplanes and that changed the entire industry. So now the engines, we lease the engines, power by the hour. So you only pay for the engine when it's spinning. How's that for a business plan?
There's so much more to talk about. James, we need to pause for now, but let's talk more. James Nixon, former captain. Well, he's a flying man.
Retired.
Retired captain, James Nixon, bringing you the inside goss on how to run a profitable airline. And it sounds like you just have to be really, really ruthless.
Don't start.
This is Disrupt. Double D spot today. It's extended. George Danikian and retired Captain James Nixon, because today we were talking about pressure, you know, in the cabin and how airlines make money. And George, James was telling us before that the best way for an airline to make money, number one, is not to fly and outsource. But you and I were trying to work out the whole business with the slots.
Yes. Why they're so precious.
What is the business with the slots?
Well, firstly, sitting here next to George, watching him read is like all the passengers used to sit in the jump seat coming into Sydney when we were at Ansett.
Yeah.
And they would say, "Goo, isn't this great?" Yeah. And I'm sitting here going, This is exactly like being a little passenger sitting in here watching the best ever. I'm just waiting. But he didn't get to say any volcanoes' names or any Greek names.
Say something for us, George.
You know. Oh, Sikesh Vekervar.
Oh, see? George.
My life Liz Murray would be very pleased.
My life
smiling.
Is completely...
don't know what you said, finished
now. It's a wonderful place in Hungary.
Oh, Hungary. Thank you.
Sorry, I just had to say that because I'm like a little kid sitting here.
That's okay.
So it's all about slots.
We want to know about the slots.
Yeah.
Well... it's very hard to call this place a democracy, isn't it, when everything's so highly regulated against the little guy. If they were serious about making this a democracy, they would put all the slots on the table.
What are the slots? Just
the slots are times we can land the plane or take off the plane.
Okay.
The problem is the whole thing is based with a piece of concrete, a few pieces of concrete. Like we talk about Australia, big bastard place. Australia has a lot of little islands. There's only a few
little
places,
runways.
Little runways around Australia where you can land. It's a long way between runways when you've got a sick aeroplane or a busy airport. Yes. So the problem is when you have an airport that has a curfew and only opens from 6 in the morning till 10 at night or 10:30 at
night.
They
don't run 24 hours, do they?
Not in other states.
No.
But they do in Victoria. But in other states you have to turn everything off, and that means you've got to force all the planes onto that runway at a certain time.
So that's when you see the peak hour, not only on the roads, but also on the runways.
Oh, sure is.
So are they allocated? How long have they been allocated the slots? Like it's like one for James, one for George, one for Libby.
Oh, no, it's two for James.
Two for Corners.
Yeah. Two for Libby. None for George.
None for George.
No.
That's right.
I've been sitting on the outer for 30 years waiting to get a slot.
Yeah, and that's what it's like.
Yeah.
And so these movements per hour... you know, we've heard about movements per hour. The slick air traffic controllers can make it a 60 movement per hour day. But that all requires the pilots being really, really sharp and doing it manually. When the weather goes
bad. And no fog.
And no fog. Mm. When the weather goes bad or AI takes over, we want to make it automatic. We slow down the airport to 30 movements per hour.
Oh, you don't want AI in airports? I don't want my safety controlled by AI.
Well, actually, if you're a passenger, you'd like your plane landed by a pilot who updates the autopilot 20 times a second and doesn't make mistakes.
Yes.
But unfortunately, we say no, at 200 feet, we have to disconnect the autopilot and fly manually and see how good we are. And so, but that means we can only have 30 movements an hour, which slows the whole operation down when we go to automatic.
So are those slots allocated like by regulation? How long have they been the way they are?
4 years.
Hard won by commercial interests for years.
25 years?
There's a magical slot that goes that lands you at 5:30 in the morning in Sydney. It's called a Singapore Airlines slot, and it's been held there for years under the grandfather clause. Before 6 o'clock. So Emirates said years and years ago, we'll buy it off Singapore Airlines. And guess what Airport Australia said? No, no, that reverts back to the airlines if Singapore stops using it. Guess who lands at 5:40 in the morning now?
Think
Qantas
about
Flight
it.
2 from Singapore.
The big carrier? The one with the kangaroo?
The white rat on the... oh, the sorry, it's a kangaroo. The white rat on the tail, is
that? That's the one. That's the one.
It's so funny, isn't it? It's like
you people call it a white kangaroo. We know
like
it's
this,
a white rat.
You know, white knight hero in Australian culture, but underneath it gives kidney punches.
Oh. Are you from Melbourne? Are you an Ansett person?
I am from Melbourne.
And you are an Ansett person. Therefore, it becomes the white rat airline and we don't like them.
And we don't like
them. I'm still waiting for my points that I lost. I had 500,000 on
Ansett.
Oh, here
we go. I lost my career. That's okay. No.
Is it the Peter Allen song then that makes us feel like Qantas is an Australian entity when it's
just
actually...
calm down. Australians love Qantas ads.
Yes.
But we choose to fly Singapore and Emirates.
That's right. And Qatar.
And now
increasingly.
Qatar.
Increasingly. Yes, yes, yes.
Unless, of course, you're a woman of pregnant age.
And then what?
Well, we had the consternation a year and
Ago. Oh, okay, yes, of course.
With Doha.
Well, yes, you don't want to be, and you don't want to be examined.
Could you please go on the airline?
So,
out of the tarmac, please.
So this is why the Bonza and the Rex
struggle
because when they tried to expand and get in that very lucrative golden triangle, which could sustain three airlines, right?
Sure, of course they could. But the problem is people are too stupid in this business. They don't understand the industry. Qantas has 140 flights a day around Australia. That's maybe it's 150, for servicing Mount Isa and all these places that, you know, you want to go to once in your lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the problem is they are all lost leaders. The only money they make is Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, Perth. Those are the only prices.
That's where
the money is. There is no money in this business apart from that. All of them are lost leaders. So as soon as someone goes up against any one of those routes, look out. You have broken the rules. So if you don't know the rules, you shouldn't have joined.
They're thugs, right?
Absolutely.
No, they're trying their hardest to survive.
Mm. Oh, he's changed his tune now.
Yeah, because they've got oil's free at the moment. When it's $200 a barrel or $130 a barrel as it was when the A380 started, you know, it's pretty tough. The 787 came along, it was $35 a barrel when they bought the 787. When it gets back up to $200, all those old 380s are going to be out again. Fill them up, fly them away.
That's it. Back to that desert hangar where they let them sit for years.
George.
Sunbaking.
Yeah, sunbaking.
I'll let you two. George, why don't you say some more names? Why don't you say some more names to James and I'll
it's
just.
It's like watching him read.
One more name.
One more for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Panathinaikos.
That sounds Greek.
It is. It's one of my favourite football teams, other than South Melbourne.
Kalimera.